You're finding Zechariah chapter 3 in your Bibles. Zechariah chapter 3 and 1 Peter chapter 5. Zechariah chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, there's a lot in Zechariah chapter 3 that I'm not going to explain, but what I need you to see here is manifestly evident. In Zechariah 3, verse 1, it says, "And he showed me, Joshua the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him." That's what I wanted you to see. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, just a few verses here. Verse 5, 1 Peter 5:5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Now, Father, thank you this morning for letting us be here. There's several folks gone. We ask you to remember them as they are on vacation and traveling about for one reason or another. I pray that you'd get them back safely. Also think about Barb and Frank. Going, looks like the time is nigh for Barb to have the babies. We pray that you'd help everything to go well. There'd be no complications, and just bless them and they're going. We pray that you'd bless as well here this morning as we need you. And we're aware that we've been through a battle, and the battle will likely get even worse. We pray that you'd prepare us for it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, those passages that we read are just two passages in a much bigger picture of a lot of the similar wording, which we'll talk about here in a little while. But it's a big picture of things. And I'm telling you right now that I know for a fact that most people do not see the picture. And what's contained in those two passages is a profound principle, a spiritual principle, and I believe that very, very few people understand it. Let me begin this way. You know, folks, for most people, life actually turns out to be a lot different than they imagine. Now, this is not a message just for young people at all, but we all start out young at one time or another, so I'll begin by saying, you know, most young people have some misapprehensions about how life's going to go. They imagine life will go their way in more ways than it really does. Young men and young women embark on their journey, and let me just be frank here, which is one of my faults. Some people embark in life young, and they are just naive and carnally stupid. They think that if they have a car, a PlayStation, and a couple of cool tattoos, they're prepared for life. Others are a little better prepared than that. They are educated, smart, ambitious, and have some drive, and they think that that's going to be all that is necessary to uniquely qualify them to be a success in life. Others are gifted and talented, and they think that those gifts and those talents, again, uniquely qualify them to succeed where perhaps others haven't. Some people just plan to feel their way through. Some folks, like some of you here, have been born and reared in a spiritual environment where you've gotten a different level of truth, maybe, than some folks who haven't. And all too often, I'm afraid that some of us still don't get it. The fact is that, and this sometimes onsets earlier than at others, sometimes people are forced to learn in life earlier than others. But by the time someone is, sometimes by the time they're 25 or 28 years old, they no longer have any illusions about life because life has kicked them pretty good. Certainly by the time somebody's 35 or 40, and certainly by 45 or 50, people learn that life is oftentimes nothing like what they anticipated. Many is the 35-year-old man that has already wrecked one family and perhaps two. Many is the 35-year-old man or woman that lives in a fit of frustration all the time. They thought they had a handle on what they were and where they were going, and they didn't. Many is the 35 and 40-year-old that is financially ruined and may well never get out of his financial ruin. Many is the fatality spiritually that's only 35 or 40 years old. Folks, there is many a man or woman that is my age that is a shipwreck where he stands. And he is still biologically viable as far as working and consuming oxygen and food and water. And he may live to be 75, but many is the 45, 48-year-old guy, and for that matter, lady, that does not know what happened in life. But life did not turn out as they planned. They are a shipwreck where they stand, and they have no answers. They have no answers. Ladies and gentlemen, get this point. Life will kick your tail. It really will. Now, you know, with regard to that, I think that that is a continuing mystery in many people's lives. Some people don't know when they're getting their tail kicked. But there's a lot of this that is explained by these passages that we just read and some others. So let me give you the sum of it. In Zechariah chapter 3, you read where Joshua the high priest was resisted by Satan. Right? So let's get it. Satan resists man, right? Now, you just read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, that man is supposed to resist the devil, right? You also read in verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 5 that God resisteth the proud. The devil resists man. Man's supposed to resist the devil. God resists a proud man. And it's a proof in the Bible throughout its history that man resists God, right? Man resists God. In Acts chapter 7, it says that man resists the Holy Ghost. In Romans 9, it says that man resists God's will. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says that man resists the truth. You learn from Genesis 3 on, Isaiah 14 and so on, that the devil resists God. That's a bigger part of the equation. You read in Hebrews chapter 12 that man is supposed, if necessary, to resist to blood sin and iniquity. We learn in the Bible that man not only has an enemy called the devil, but he has an enemy called the world. He's supposed to resist the world because the world's going to resist him. You learn that man has to resist his own flesh. In fact, you find in the Bible that somebody that's saved actually has two different natures abiding within himself. He has a new nature after God and an old nature that's carnal after the devil. Now, folks, what this means is that it's a mess. I can't help but recall Job chapter 5, which says, although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And I read in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 that there is no discharge in this war. Now, folks, what we just described is known as now what's become a cliche in Christianity. It's spiritual warfare. Okay, but spiritual warfare has now become a cliche, and it doesn't mean what it should. What I wanted you to see in those two passages and a bunch of the other passages that I actually quoted was there is a word, there is a concept that kept coming up there, And the word that kept coming up was resistance. Joshua was resisted by the devil. God resists the proud. We are supposed to resist the devil, resist sin, resist the world, resist the flesh, and so on and so forth. Wicked men resist the truth, resist God, resist the Holy Ghost. And that's what I'd like to talk to you. I'm not going to tell you what the title is here just quite yet, but you can know that resistance is actually the theme of the message here this morning. I want to talk to you about resistance. I want you to understand that resistance is something that's very well known in the world. I'm not an electrician. Brother Steve's an electrician. A couple of others, the guys, and so, you know, they can explain this much better than I, but you need to understand that in the electrical world, resistance is something that's very well understood. Resistance in a wire or in a circuit has to do with resisting the current that's flowing through that circuit, right? And just so you know, resistance is something that's measured in ohms. Interestingly enough, an ohm, the representation of an ohm, is also an omega, which, by the way, is one of Jesus Christ's names. So I'll leave you with thinking about that, and you can maybe that's the subject of something else some other time. But what you need to know in the electrical world is that when there is resistance against a current, there's something that's always produced, and it's called heat. Right? Now, just hang in here with me. Just give me a little while to sort this out, and then I'll have you out of here by 2:30, okay? But resistance causes heat. Now, folks, in the end, you know, the fact is everybody's familiar with resistors. Your toaster at home is a rather large resistor because there's a current that flows through the wires of that thing, and there's enough resistance in that wire and enough current flowing through, then there's enough conflict that those wires become red hot and toast your little buns. If you have baseboard heat, if you have electric heat, if you have an electric cooking stove in your house, ladies, those are nothing but large resistors, okay? And that's how you get heat off of them. If you're using a skill saw, 300 yards from the house, and you plug 300 yards worth of extension cords into the house and run it out to cut something, after you cut for a little while, you can walk down that cord, pick it up in the middle, and it'll be warm. Because the longer a wire is, the more resistance that there is in it, okay? Now, what I want you to see with that is resistance causes heat. It represents there's conflict, basically, inside the wire or the circuit or whatever, and in the end, enough resistance over a period of time will wear it out. It will become brittle. It will burn out. And in the end, you can only use an electric stove for so long before the resistor part is worn out and becomes brittle and breaks. Okay? Now, that's not all about resistors, because there's another kind of resistance that everybody's really familiar with, and basically, we call it friction, okay? But all friction is basically resistance, and again, friction is very well understood. There's physical laws that govern it. People have formulas together. Every kid, every boy anyway, has probably tried to start a fire, you know, with two sticks. And with the right kind of sticks, it can be done. I had an interesting experience the other day. I was up near the Hawes cutting wood. And I had my, you know, I chopping wood and was throwing the wood in the back of the truck. And I got to a county market and went in to get a bottle of water. I starved to death and came back out, and there's a bunch of people huddled up around my truck. And I somehow or another, I suppose I had sparked off of something in the wood. And the outside of the wood that I was cutting was just soapy enough that driving along, there's enough of an ember in there that I was sitting there, and one of those pieces of wood in the back of there, it was just smoking like crazy, man. So I came out and poured my bottle of water on top of it. But I got the people at County Market kind of excited there. All right, now, folks, all that was friction. If you understand ball bearings, that's the issue is friction. And eventually, friction, even with all the grease, will wear the ball bearing out. Your engine in your car, that's the reason you need to change your oil every 15,000 miles, because you're going to ruin the engine in that car if you don't change the oil more often. Amen. All through history, there's been political resistance. You've heard of the French Resistance in World War I and World War II. Well, that's where somebody is resisting the government, and because of it, there is conflict and trouble and heat that forms. Two countries go to war with each other because there is resistance between them. We now have concerns that antibiotics are, there's antibiotic resistance because we've used drugs so much that the diseases have now formed a resistance, and there's life, this life or death struggle between disease and medicine, and sometimes the diseases win. I even went online the other day to see if I could find other kinds of resistance. I found a website that teaches you how to avoid alien, to resist alien abduction. For which reason, I'm thinking, why won't aliens come abduct our three presidential candidates? Why mess with a redneck when you can take one of those dudes, right? Anyway. Now, having said that, I got we're talking about resistance. And I want you to understand that what I want you to understand is if there is an application to it, you can apply it to friction and you can apply it to electricity. You can even apply it to aliens if you want to. But you need to apply it spiritually. Because I'll tell you this, it explains some things. And I'll tell you the title here in a little while, but not yet. I want you to understand that resistance guarantees the conflict. There will be heat generated in an electrical system. That's why Dave Williams keeps his new computer thingy air-conditioned, because there is a lot of resistance in there, and there is a lot of heat generated. There will be heat in mechanical moving parts because there is resistance. There will be resistance in the world of politics and in society because there are conflicts. Now, ladies and gentlemen, spiritually, you need to get this. Satan resists God. God resists Satan. Satan resists man. Man's supposed to resist Satan. God resists man when man's wrong. Man, when he's wrong, resists God. In the meantime, man's supposed to be resisting the world, which does resist him. He's supposed to be resisting the flesh, which, by the way, does resist you when you try to do the right thing. I got news for you. There's going to be trouble no matter which way you turn. There is going to be fire. Ladies and gentlemen, you understand something. You understand that rocks and metal burn up when they enter our atmosphere from outer space. They burn up from friction, and the friction is from air. All right? You understand that when these massive thunderstorms pile up across the lower Midwest and the upper Midwest in July and August, you understand that all that is cold air bumping into hot air? That's all it is. That is absolutely all that it is. And I'm saying, folks, if you have that much turmoil and that much lightning and thunder and trouble and problems and conflict that arises out of those circumstances, you put God and the devil in a closed system, and there's going to be trouble, there's going to be fire, and you're in the middle of it. You say, I didn't ask to be in the middle. Nobody asked you what you wanted. You were born into the middle of it, and you're never going to escape it until you're raptured out of here, if you're raptured out of here. Now, there's a lesson with this. I want you to understand that what I'm talking about guarantees the conflicts and trouble in life that you have, one way or another. Lesson number one from it. First of all, a troubleless existence is a pipe dream. It exists only so far as Tinkerbell exists. You'll be able to get through this life without trouble, without problems, without major conflicts. It is a pipe dream. I don't care if you're lost. I don't care if you're saved. I don't care if you care. And I don't care if you're consecrated. You're going to have trouble and problems on a weekly, daily, perhaps hourly basis in this life, whether you're saved or lost, because you're in the middle of a battlefield. You cannot avoid it. The Bible simply guarantees a storm in your life for basically as long as life goes, because that's the nature of things. If you say that you know somebody that doesn't have any problems, I'm telling you, they only appear to not have any problems. I learned a long time ago, being a pastor, that no matter how tranquil somebody looks on the outside, they are their own simmering pot of trouble. Folks, I'm glad, you know, honestly, I've come to be glad that I have the troubles that I have, because at least I'm familiar with mine. I don't want some of your problems, even if I can't see all of your problems. And you probably don't want some of mine either. But I want you to understand that you can get, you know, the grass is greener on the other side, and you can get where you're looking at somebody thinking, boy, I wish I was like that. No, you really don't. No, you really don't, really. Folks, everybody has problems. If you intend to avoid trouble in this life, whether you're saved, I'm talking about saved and lost, I don't really care. You might as well try to go picnic in a hurricane. Because you are not going to get through this life without trouble. I tell you something else. Lesson number two with regard to this guaranteeing the conflict. I want you to understand that it sometimes gets pretty complicated. For instance, now, I'm not an electrician, all right? We're talking about resistance as an electrician. I'm not an electrician. I have to tell you that. And so, you know, somebody else can explain me. So maybe what I'm going to say, I know that what I'm going to say is perhaps technically not correct in absolutely every case. But I think in a circuit, electricity usually only travels one direction. Okay? And if there's an exception to that, an engineer can tell me, but still, in most circuits, electricity travels in one direction. Okay? You say, what's the point with that? Well, it only goes in one direction. And if with friction, you know, if I am pushing something this way, then I'm being resisted this way. And if I'm doing something, but it's only one direction. All right? The deal with the issue with spiritual resistance is sometimes it goes both ways. It's more complicated because you're juggling both the issue with the devil and the Lord at the same time. Okay? Now I'll leave that there, but just to say that if you serve God, you're resisting the devil and the devil's resisting you. If you're serving the devil, then you're resisting God and God's resisting you. And it can become a fairly complicated mix, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But I talked about it guaranteeing the conflict. Okay, there's the second thing that it does. And I'll tell you the title in a second, okay? It begs a question. All right? It begs a question. Where there's smoke, there's fire. So they say. The people at County Market would testify that that's probably true. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Well, I got news for you. Where there are conflicts and trouble, there's resistance. You don't have a fight with somebody that you agree with. Two countries don't go to war because they just want to fight. They have enough of a resistance and enough of a conflict that, you know, they go to war. There is no thunderstorm that forms with just cold air. It takes hot air, too, and a cell phone. But it begs the question. Okay, it begs the question. First question is, who do you resist? Whom do you resist? You got trouble? Do you have trouble? Just nod your head if you have some trouble. Okay, whom do you resist? Against what do you resist? Because whatever the resistance is where the trouble and the conflict is coming from. So I'll tell you what the title of the message is. The title of the message is, it's all about the ohms. And it is. It's all about the ohms. I can tell you this right now, that where you have problems in your life, it's about where the resistance is. Okay? About what and whom you resist. Now look, before I say more, people talk about serving God, right? And I've heard people say they're serving God at times. This is the other side of serving God. Because you're not serving God unless you're resisting the devil. And the devil resisting you. And you can't not serve God and not serve the devil. See, it's like this. Okay, here we go, Eric. Just stay there. Don't let me pull you up. Just lean back and don't let me pull you up. Ready? Okay. Now look. I'm pulling, right? I'm pulling here, but I'm pushing there. Okay? In order to lift here, I have to push there. You understand? So this is physics, right? What I'm getting at, you know, folks, you know, equal and opposite reactions, the Chinese call it yin and yang and all that kind of stuff. But the fact of the matter is that the other side of serving God is that you're not serving God unless you're resisting the devil and the devil's resisting you. So don't say, oh, I'm serving God. And then, you know, with the rock and roll and the world and everything else going all at one time, because it doesn't work that way. It's just semantics. You can say you're serving God while you're serving the devil. But if you're serving God, you are resisting the devil, and the devil is resisting you, because the negative side of service is resistance. Now, so I said one, it guarantees a conflict. Where there is resistance, I'll guarantee you somebody's upset. Either the Lord or the devil. And it begs the question, if you have trouble, then from what resistance is the trouble coming? Either you're serving the Lord or, and the devil's resisting you and you're resisting the devil, or perhaps you're serving the world or the flesh or the devil and you're resisting God. And God's resisting you. Now, folks, I'll tell you what this allows. This allows for you to categorize your trouble. It guarantees a conflict. It begs the question. And it categorizes the trouble. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You know what Jesus Christ promised, like the rest of the Bible? He promised you trouble. No matter who you serve, no matter whether you're saved or lost, you're going to have problems. He's giving you an out to serve Him so that your troubles will be from the devil and the world and the flesh, and they would not originate from God. You understand? Now, folks, you get to categorize your trouble this way. There are age-old questions. Folks, there are questions that philosophers have asked and passed on to students and people have trouble with. A Christian goes out to try to do something for God and something bad happens to him, his wife, his family, his stuff, whatever. And they throw their hands in the air and they say, what did I do wrong? And sometimes people don't seem to have an answer for it. Why do bad things happen to good people? What's the source of the trouble? What's the nature of the trouble? It's in the ohms, man. It's in where the resistance is. It's in who's resisting you and who you're resisting. Whom are you resisting? What are you resisting? What is resisting you? Look, you go into the kitchen, your mom is cooking fresh baked chocolate chip cookies. And it's a no-no for you to take them before dessert. But you resist your mother, and you take them anyway. Now tell me this, who's going to whop you upside the head? Look, the mean old neighbor next door, when you steal your mother's cookies, when you resist your mother, he's not going to whop you upside the head. Your mom's going to whop you upside the head. That's where you get the resistance from. Now, if you want to bring the mean neighbor into it, go kick the old mean neighbor in the shin. Now, who's going to whop you upside the head? Well, your mom, don't blame her for the problem. Because you kicked your mean neighbor, so he's going to whop you upside the head. You resist the IRS by not paying your taxes. Where are you going to get trouble from? Don't go blame your teacher. Don't go blame your boss. The IRS whopped you upside your head. You resisted them. They're where the trouble is coming from. Gentlemen, when you resist remembering your wife's anniversary, who's going to whop you upside your head? Don't go blame your old mean neighbor because you forgot your wife's anniversary. And she's going to whop you upside your head. That's where the resistance comes from. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you would say, I'm not talking about major fist fights or anything, but how many of you would say that you had some trouble, some degree of conflict or turmoil in trying to get to church this morning? Just go ahead, just raise your hands, just admit it. Okay? Who caused that trouble? Here I am, I'm trying to serve God, and I go out and there's a flat tire, and God, why'd you do this to me? God didn't do that to you. You're trying to go to a Bible-believing church where you're going to get preaching. God ordained the foolishness of preaching. Why would God resist you? That's not where you're getting the resistance from. It's somebody else. You understand? When you undertake to pray and to witness and to be consecrated and live for God, and then bad things happen, and you shake your fist and say, is this what I get for serving you? What are you blaming Him for? He's not resisting you in that. It doesn't even make sense to think that. Who's resisting you? See, man, it's all in the ohms. I don't know what kind of trouble you've got. Well, I have some idea. And I'm not going to sit around and judge, your trouble and whether it's the devil or whether it's the Lord. But I know that you can tell a lot about the solution to your problems if you'll think about the ohms. If you're going to gamble your livelihood away and then bad things happen, who's responsible for the resistance? I tell you who's against you. The devil's not trying to stop you from going gambling. God's nailing your hide to the wall. You understand? And if you got a problem with what's on the computer and then the computer crashes, you can't blame the devil for tearing your computer up. It doesn't make any sense to do that. Listen, the Bible says back there in 1 Peter chapter 1, God resisteth the proud. If you are a proud, cocky little rooster, and if things just keep going wrong for you, who's responsible for that? God resisteth the proud. If you are ungrateful, who's responsible for that? The devil's not going to get you for being ungrateful. Right? Who resists an obedient child? The devil. Who resists a disobedient child? The Lord. So when you get something in the neck for being an obedient child or for being a disobedient child, you pretty much know what the source of the trouble is. What's wrong with this logic? If a husband that won't lead his home winds up with trouble, Who's the source of that trouble?
My wife.
Wrong answer. If a wife won't reasonably submit to her husband and bad things happen because of it, who resists her? If a man is greedy and gets it in the neck, who's responsible for the arrow? If a man is generous and charitable and kind and pitiful and merciful and gets it in the neck, who's responsible for it? Now listen, I will tell you this. I understand that this is not all in a laboratory, and I understand for it. Let me just, okay, here's Job, right? Job had several things going all at one time. The devil's working him over, but at a deeper level, God's working in him on a much finer level, right? So I'm acknowledging that, and I want you to understand. I realize that there's like an advanced course in this, but for the sake of simplicity, and for the sake of somebody who needs to get saved that isn't, or for the sake of somebody relatively early in the Christian life who's just struggling with the will of God and why certain things happen, you know, early in the Christian life, about plain things, what's wrong with this logic? It's all in the ohms, man. Who are you resisting? Who is resisting you? Where is the trouble and conflict and friction? Where is it arising from? I want you to know that not only does it categorize your trouble, but it identifies your adversary. In Zechariah 3, Joshua was withstood by Satan. In 1 Peter 5:5, that proud man is resisted by God. Now, folks, I do recognize uncertain resistance at times. And you go far enough along in the Christian life and grow far enough, you're going to find that there are times that God resists you in a good thing in order to give you a better thing. I acknowledge that. I do. I do acknowledge that because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. And I realize that sometimes you do something good or bad, and the resistance and the payback doesn't always come in sequence right after that. Sometimes there's a waiting period, so you have to play that in. But I hope that you also recognize that there are times that there is pointed, certain, definite correction and chastisement and resistance that happens right now that is not uncertain at all. Now, folks, I've been a Christian for 36 years. And maybe that doesn't count a lot for you, but I can tell you this by experience that there have been some times that I've pulled some stunts, and within a few days of that stunt, something happened. I can tell you this, there have been a few times in my life that I knew exactly who got my attention right then and what it was about. I'm not going to give you any details. You don't need any. I don't expect you to give me any details. I don't need any. But I've been a Christian long enough to know that once in a while, God swats me upside the head, and I know it's God, and I know why He did it. All right? Now, ladies and gentlemen, you ought to be able to recognize trouble springing from the devil when you're trying to serve God, because they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And when you try to serve God and things don't go right or go the best, or there is some adversity that arises from somewhere that you don't like or that you don't expect, you should not retreat in confusion and get offended and pout and cry and say, well, this is what happens when somebody tries to serve God. It's not God. That's not where that resistance comes from. You ought not go mope and threaten to quit when you try to do right and something bad happens. Because it's all in the ohms, man. You need to get that. And you know what, folks? If you're lost, and if you're backslidden, I'm talking a backslidden Christian, don't kid yourself about who's against you. Okay? I mean, listen, if you're a Christian and you're stupid enough to go to the casino, you're an idiot if you think you're going to win anything that is going to profit you or benefit you. If you win anything, it's going to curse everything that you spend it on. And you need to understand who's resisting you. God resisteth the proud. Don't kid yourself about what continues to undermine things in your life that matters to you if you're lost and if you're backslidden. And you say, well, I just wish my luck would turn. Well, I just sure do. Well, yeah, the old boy downstairs, he sure is bothering me this week. I don't think it's the old boy downstairs. It's in the ohms, man. It's in the ohms. I want you to know it also locates your spiritual position. It generates the conflict. It guarantees it. It begs the question. It categorizes the trouble. It identifies your adversary. I want you to know it basically locates your spiritual position. You can think of it as the Lord's GPS. Okay? And, you know, I don't know. What are you resisting? Who is resisting you? You know, people struggle, you know, with things. But after you've been saved for 10 years, you have no business whatsoever struggling with profanity. You have no business. And if you do, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Because when you give in to that thing and you cease to resist in that thing, you are revealing yourself a bigger baby than you ought to be. When your responses to conflict are along the lines of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and you're just a big, slobbering, blubbering baby, you should be further along than that. See, by thinking about who's resisting you, and whom you're resisting, you can identify an awful lot that goes on in this life. That's a big, big mystery to somebody that doesn't have a Bible. Now listen, folks, you need to understand something. This is the reason why we say that, you know, somebody's lost comes and he or she and his or her wife or husband are having trouble, but they're lost. And they come in, and they want me to help them. And she's a nag, and he's a drunk. And I say, well, first thing you got to do is get saved. They don't understand, well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, what that's got to do, folks, with everything, is that you're on the wrong side. You have the wrong enemy. You need help. And the one that's resisting you is God. God is not letting your family go forward. He's not letting you be satisfied in your family. You are frustrated, discontent, unhappy, bipolar, and a whole bunch of other things because God is resisting you. And the first thing that you got to do is change teams. Now, you're going to still have trouble after you get saved. I can tell you that. If you get saved and serve God from that day forward without a single break, you're just going to have trouble because now the devil's resisting you. So I'm going to tell you what this is all about. This is not about avoiding trouble. I am not Benny Hinn. And I do not slick my hair back. I am a telegenic fella, but I will not slick my hair back. And there's a reason why. And folks, the reason why is because those guys are deceivers. Those guys are liars. Those guys are telling people that they can have it all, that they can have complete troubleless tranquility and peace in this life, and it ain't so. It's not so. You get to pick your trouble. You can either have God be your troubler, or you can have the devil, the world, and the flesh be your troubler. But it's one way or the other. And you know what? In all fairness, there are times that God deals with you at a deep level, and there's a little bit of both going on. I'll grant you that. But in getting saved, that's not what it's about. It's not about just resolving all your problems and living forever in tranquility. That's not what it's about. It's about changing sources of trouble. And if you're lost, I got news for you. You're on the wrong team. God is your adversary. God is your enemy. Before we were saved, we were all at enmity with God. He was our enemy. You got to change troublers. And it's all in the ohms. Sometimes lost people are still unhappy. I'm sorry. Sometimes saved people are still unhappy and frustrated. But their unhappiness and their frustration come from a different source. It has to do with the fact that they're still here. They're children of God, but they're still here in the flesh and in the world, and they're troubled by the devil. He's their adversary. He's their resistor, and they resist him. Saved people have God as their resistor, and they resist him, and so they have trouble. Who do you resist? Who resists you? What's the source of your trouble? What's the source of your trouble? Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, there's probably a lot more here than we were able to get into here this morning. And I know that there are some combinations of things. And we use the example of Job, pretty complicated stuff. Some things going on at different levels. But there are some remarkably simple concepts here, Lord. And we pray that you would help folks to understand some things, and pray you'd help folks to look inside, particularly somebody here that may not be saved and has trouble and is seeking help from God or somebody. Pray you might help them to understand where some of that conflict and trouble comes from. I pray particularly you might help them to consider and think a little bit about who, about whom it comes from, and about the source of it, and about whom they themselves resist. Let's remain with our heads bowed and our eyes closed here for just a minute. And we're not going to pause for an awful long time here. But you will be able to verify in the Scriptures that the Lord Jesus Christ did not offer you a trouble-free existence. He offered you salvation, a membership in the family of God, a mansion in heaven, a lot of other things. But he told you all along there was going to be trouble. There was going to be problems. That you were going to be in tribulation and trial and travail. Folks, you have a choice of going through those things for God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, in opposition to the world, the flesh, and the devil. Or you have the opportunity to live for yourself, to go along through the current with the devil, the world, serve yourself, and to have God thwart you and trouble you at various intervals in your life. The choice is not about being trouble-free. The choice is where you want your trouble to come from. Now, Jesus paid it all, folks. Is there anybody here that's ever, never trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior? You need to switch families. You need to switch sides. Father, we pray that you will give Christians as well as the lost here a light on some things that are going on in their lives. Pray you just help folks to put themselves under the searchlight here of these things, and maybe they can come up with some answers that they've not had to this point. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 204, please. Stand. Number 204. Folks, remember bread back there. Make sure and take all of it if you can here this morning. And remember the camp stuff back there. If you need to pay me for pre-registration, I'd appreciate you doing that. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for a good morning this morning. We pray for a good afternoon for these folks, safe and healthy. Pray that you get us back tonight, and pray you bless that service as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.